I said earlier, Holly got the dates mixed up or the times mixed up, so I didn't have much sleep this morning or didn't get my extra hour of sleep. The day before, yesterday? When you saw the deer? She comes running upstairs. She goes, "Darwin, you got to see this. There's a deer in our field." And if you know where we live, we live literally right next to a field, and it was bean field. And there was a deer literally just laying in the middle of the field, kind of looking around like this. And there were gunshots happening somewhere in the county. And I figured the deer was being smart because he's saying, "I'm going to sit in the middle of the field. And if somebody does come at me, I'm going to be able to see him and I'm going to be able to run." And that's what I think happened. But many of you know we are now into deer season, right? Is it bow right now? Crossbow or something like that? And we know that because of that, the deer are going to be running, and you need to be very careful because of the car deer accidents that are going to be happening, right? And so you got to be very careful. It reminded me of a court case that happened a number of years ago where a man was involved in a car deer accident, and he decided to bill the insurance company for his injuries. And the insurance company didn't want to pay it, so they actually went to court. And the exchange of the court kind of went something like this. And the attorney looked at the driver of the car, and he says, did you or did you not say that you were fine to the police officer at the accident scene?" He goes, let me tell you what happened. See, I was driving this car up 127, and no, the attorney stopped and says, "No, it's a yes or no answer. Did you or did you not tell the police officer that you were fine?" He says, "Let me tell you." He says, "I was driving up 127, I came to Tama Road, and this deer came out." The attorney stopped him again and says, "Now stop." He says, "This was a yes or no question. Did you not tell the police officer that you were fine?" And he goes, "No, let me tell you." He says, "I was driving up 127. Finally, the attorney looked at the judge and said, "Your Honor, will you please make him answer this question with a yes or no?" And the judge said, "You know what, I'm kind of interested too, so go ahead and tell the rest of your story." He says, "Well, let me tell you." He says, "I was driving up 127 at Tama Road, and this deer came out right in front of me, and I swerved to miss the deer, but I hit the deer anyway, and I went into the ditch, and I went a little farther, and I hit a tree. And I came out, and I was kind of stumbling a little bit," and he said, "this deputy showed up." I think his name was Daryl. And this guy named Daryl shows up, and he comes up to me, "First I'm going to check on the deer, then I'm going to check on you." So I said, "Okay." He says, "So Daryl, he went over there, and I saw him take out his gun, and he shot the deer right between the eyes. Then he came back to me with the gun still in his hand and says, 'How you feeling?'" Now, what does this have to do with the sermon? Nothing. I just like the stories. I think one of you posted it on Facebook this week, and I kind of watched it a little bit. I kind of laughed. Anyway, today what I want to do is we're going to be in our 3 weeks of praise here at Mount Tabor. We're going to be looking at why we're going to be praising the Lord. And today I want to go back to one of the sermons I know I preached before, similar to this, but I want to go in a little bit more depth on just how big our God is. How big God is, and how mindful he is of us. And then next week, we're going to have baby dedications next week, but I also want to look at humanity and how special we are. And I kind of want to go into the human body and how unique we are from all the other in the animal kingdom, and I want to look at that. And then we're going to pull it all together on the week of Thanksgiving. So that's what we're going to do today. I want to go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, and this is a psalm that was written by David, and we think what was happening was that David was kind of at the end of the harvest season, kind of where we're at. We're at the middle to the, we're over the hump. We should be over the hump in the harvest season. And so David was probably at the end of the harvest season, and David, King David, was kind of walking in the fields or in the pastures, and he was looking up at the heavens, and he had this real feeling of insignificance that came over him, because he then realized how big God really is to create all this, and how small we are. And these words kind of came to him. He said, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set." So imagine David, he's walking outside, he's looking at the heavens. He's going, "Wow, this is great." I think one of the reasons why country folk are a little bit more religious than city folk is because you see God's creation a lot more. When I lived in Findlay for 16 years, we were kind of in the middle of town. And we would hear the interstate, we would hear the trains, and the lights of the city would drown out a lot of the lights of the sky. Even though we lived right next to a school that had maybe 10 acres there, and we could go out and see some of the stars, but we couldn't see hardly any stars compared to what we see in Salina. We walk outside at night and we see just the beauty. And at times you can even see the Milky Way. And it's just amazing to see that all was created and that God is the one that created it. And when you consider the works of his hands and you consider how small we are in comparison, it is a very humbling thing. In fact, this psalm that actually was written by David was actually given to Jewish people when they were feeling proud of themselves. They were saying, "You see, you feel proud of yourself? Well, go out and look at the heavens and start reciting Psalm 8 and say, 'Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth,' because you're recognizing the creator of this." I want to stop a little bit. I want to look at God's creation. And I want you to look at and consider how vast and how mighty it is. You can't see this. I don't think you can see this. But on the tip of his finger is a grain of sand. Astronomers say that if you were to take that grain of sand and you were to look at that grain of sand and you would keep looking at it into outer space, where that grain of sand is, has 10 billion stars in it. Isn't that amazing? 10 billion with a B stars in it. See, that's what maybe the Hubble telescope will do, is the Hubble telescope will look at a little grain of sand area, and the Hubble telescope will bring back the images that are out there. How many of you have looked at some of those images? Aren't they awesome? See, the neat part about the Hubble telescope is they've taken a telescope and they shot it into outer space. So no longer do you have any of the atmosphere that is interfering with the telescopes. You are actually seeing some of the purity of space out there. And so you see those. Now, let me show you just how, once again, how small we are. This is the Milky Way galaxy. In that yellow box is what you can see with your visible eye. When you look up into the skies and into the universe, that's all you see. And yet, we know that our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is 100,000 light years wide. Well, what's a light year? A light year is 186,000 miles per second times 60 times 60 times 24 times 365. Yeah, 65. Said that right, unless it's a leap year. That comes out to one light year is 5.8 trillion miles. Okay, how big is a trillion? Well, we know that we are $21 trillion in debt in the United States. Here comes my only political statement. Why can't they get it that that's a problem? Okay. If you were to spend $186,000 per second, it would take at least 4 to 5 years for us to pay off the national debt at $186,000 per second. Now, if you were to spend just $1 per second, you can multiply that even more than that. I actually tried to look that up. I was in the first service, and I got on my cell phone, and I was doing the math on there. And I said, how much is a light year? And came up with 5.8 trillion miles. And then I was thinking about this. Let me get over here. Where am I at? Back up. What did I do with it? It should be right there. I lost it. Abby, what did you do with it? Nothing. Oh, well. No, it's over here. Da-na-na-na. We'll get to this later. Da-na-na. That is how much we can actually see, or that's how many, that's called the Alankia supercluster. It's 100,000 galaxies. It's 2 trillion stars are in there. And they say that's what we can comprehend, and that's what we can actually see. If you were to take that and you were to say, okay, we've got 500 million light years, multiply that by 5.8 trillion, how big is that? I said the same thing. It's just mind-boggling when you think of all of that, and yet God is the one that created all of that. And so here we have what is visible in to our naked eye. We see that in that one area, there is like 10 billion stars just in that little area that we can see from that little grain of sand. In fact, they say what is in that supercluster that we just looked at is 2 trillion stars, which is more stars in the sky than grains of sand on this earth. Now, does that blow your mind? And yet God is the one that created that. It blows my mind. And so here's David. He says, when I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Do you see what he's saying? When I look at all that there is, and they didn't even have at that time even a telescope to look through, or binoculars. That came later. And he's saying, what I see now, and I see how vast and how big it is, and yet, God, I know you made it, and it's just an amazing thing to think that you made it. And when I consider that, and you're mindful of me, and you care about me. See, David is now recognizing how special we are because God is mindful of you. You know, we went through some tragedies this week in our church. We've lost some loved ones in this church. But I want you to think about this. God is mindful of the Fast family. And we talked about that at the funeral, how we're not alone at the time of death. You know, God is with us. God cares about us. It's an amazing thing to really think about. God is mindful of us. Okay. I used to like to fly. I did. I mean, give me the window seat. I want to see what's all going on, you know. What broke me of that is going to Guam. 27 hours on an airplane. Little seat about yay big, right? It's not the most fun thing in the world to do. And you think of anything you can do to keep yourself occupied and not have any blood clots go in your leg. But what I liked about flying was, especially when you're taking off and you're looking out the window. You've done that? You look out the window and you see these little cars that look like little ants and they're kind of scurrying around. What's amazing about that is those little cars have a human being in it and they're in their own little world. And I actually have looked out the airplane and I look and I say, I wonder what's going on in their world. I'm wondering what's happening in their life. Because each one of those has a task to do. Each of those have got to go to work. Each of them have got family. Each of them, what's all happening in their lives? And then we go a little bit further away, And we are now at the space station, and you can't see those cars anymore. You see, what the problems that we have in this earth, you cannot see them from the space station. Oh, you might see some. You might see a hurricane. You might even see some smoke from some of the wildfires out west. But really, you don't know exactly what's happening in people's lives because you've gotten further and further away from it. We know that Wapakoneta is the hometown of Mr. Armstrong. Are we right on that one? The man who stepped on the moon. And so this is what he saw when he was on the moon. You don't even see the hurricanes. You don't see the wildfires. You don't see any of that. All you see is a blue blueberry. Do you know that when they sent radio signals back to Earth, it took 1.25 seconds for those radio signals to reach Earth? Why? Because of radio signals travel at the speed of light. So you're saying, Houston, we have a problem. 1001, 1002. What's the problem? 1001, 1002. We see something venting, that whole thing. Because that's the distance that we have. Now, here's something even neater. We have now gone beyond the moon, and we have something that is on Mars called the Mars rover thing. They turned the camera around on there, and they pushed it up, and they said, this is what Earth looks like from Mars. Now, they're getting ready to go to Mars. I don't know if we're going to have it in my lifetime. I know eventually it's going to happen, just the way human beings are. So, if you go to Mars, it takes, if there's a problem on Mars, it's going to take 20 minutes for you to know that. You got that? Houston, I have a problem. 20 minutes go by. What's the problem? 20 minutes go by. They forgot to pack the nachos or whatever. 20 minutes go by. See, that's how long it takes for the radio signals to go back and forth. That's how far away it is. Now, an even neater thing happened. You used to have this the spacecraft called the Voyager. Remember that? It went up and was taking pictures of various moons and planets. Voyager went beyond our solar system. Right before it left the solar system, they sent a message to Voyager. Turn your camera around. So they're beyond Pluto. They turned the camera around, and they took a picture of Earth. This actually, can you see that little dot? That's Earth. And that's the furthest photograph ever taken in the history of mankind. I think the most significant photograph that was ever taken in the history of mankind. Look how small we are. That's our Earth. That's our Earth. That's Earth. There's Earth. There's Earth. And yet the Bible says that God is mindful of us. By the way, there's Earth. That's where we are located in the Milky Way galaxy. Go a little further. This is the furthest that we can, as human beings, can our radio signals have gone out. Remember those movies that are out there, Independence Day or Pacific Rim or all of, where somebody heard our radio signals and they came to destroy the Earth. Remember those? Nonsense. They can't hear us because that is how far our radio signals have gone out. Now they're continuing to expand, don't get me wrong, but it'll take 100,000 years for our radio signal to go to the edge of our galaxy. I already talked about that. When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of him, and human beings that you care for them? Doesn't that make you feel pretty small? See, King David recognizes that God is the one who gave. And God is the one that continues to care for us and remembers us. Now, let's go further. Okay. King James recognizes the importance and responsibility God has given to man. So let's go to verse 5 of chapter 8 of Psalms. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. He's talking about us, humans. We were created a little bit lower than the angels. We are not on the same plane as animals. We are a higher being than the animals. God created us that way. He also created us with responsibilities. We were created in the image of God, and we were created with responsibilities. Image of God meaning a couple things. One is, we are moral creatures. We have a moral guideline by which we go by. Most of the animal kingdom, if not all, don't have a moral guideline. If I want your food, I'm just going to take it. If I want this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it because it's all about me and survival. Where we have a moral guideline. The Ten Commandments is a good moral guideline. I know that's what Kyle's is teaching the kids upstairs, is that. There's a guideline. There's a morality that we go by. We are also created in the image of God, meaning that we are spiritual beings. The animal kingdom is not spiritual beings. We are. We have a consciousness. We have a more complex emotions. I mean, we can go on and on and on and how complex we actually are as human beings. And yet God gives us responsibilities. He says, you're created a little lower than the angels. You made, verse 6, you made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. So he's saying, we were created. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to take care of God's creation. That's how he created us. So the church should be environmentally friendly. We actually should. Now, trust me, I am not a tree hugger. Trees have a purpose, to build baseball bats, right? But just to destroy things for the sake of destroying them, killing an animal for the sake of just killing them, oh, I'm going to make you suffer. I don't think that's what God intended us to do. We are to take care of his creation. He put everything under our feet. We are the rulers of the world, of the works of the world. I know that goes against what we're being taught in schools. I understand that. I know that goes against what we're being taught as even on the internet and on TV. But we are the highest of God's creation. And because of that, we have responsibility. So, let's go further. All the flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish of the sea, and all that swim the paths of the sea. Verse 9. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. See, God cares about us, and God, it's just a humbling thing when you recognize the fact that in this vast universe that's out there, that God knows you, and he wants an intimate relationship with you. So we praise him. We praise him for a couple reasons. One is this, and we'll talk about this more in depth next week. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God had a hand in forming us in my mother's womb. And God is interested in your life today. One of the consequences of the Garden of Eden and the fall of sin that happened in the Garden of Eden, I truly believe that's when inferiority complex came into us. Because I don't think there's one person here, even the most beautiful person here, that thinks that, look at me, I'm perfect. I'm thankful the way God made me. For some reason we have that, we're not satisfied with the way we are. But we have to understand that you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. God made you special. And the person that you're sitting next to, God made special. It says that God had a hand in forming you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were born. And so never go up to a child and say, you were a mistake. You were never a mistake. God knew. And God was involved in the creation of you in your mother's womb. He's interested in your life today. This God of the universe that, like I said, 250 million light years that we can possibly see. And you know that's not the end of it. Is interested in your life. I think the most important scripture passage is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And it's not 16. It's 17. We can say 16 together. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? We know that one. It's one of the first ones we ever learned. It's the next verse. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came to save the world through him. We were already condemned. He came not to say, you're condemned, or to destroy you, or to be that vengeance God. He says, I love you, I care about you, and I want to save you. That, my friends, I think is like that picture of Pluto, or a picture of the earth from Pluto. I think that's the most significant thing found in the Bible and why Jesus came. He's interested in your life today. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to share with him. He wants you to say, God, I'm hurting right now. We also know that humanity was given a place of honor in his creation. Jesus did not come to die for your dog, or that mosquito that you killed yesterday, or that fly that's in our house that Polly's been trying to kill for the last 3 days. Jesus came to die for you, to pay your price. And we'll talk more about this, especially when we get into the Easter season. But basically is, there's a consequence of our disobedience. And the consequence, the Bible says, is death. We are all going to physically die, but we also have the spiritual death as well. God says, I love you. I care about you. I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to pay the price for your sin. And because of that, we are given a place of honor. We were created a little lower than the angels. Do you hear me, people? You were created a little lower than the angels. And so why do we praise him? We praise him because of all of God's creation, all that there is. Guess what? He is mindful of you. Isn't that great to know? And in Psalm 19, verse 1, let me get back to this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sued his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sloweth knowledge. King James, by the way. The heavens are declaring God's glory. And so when you go out there and you see God's creation, praise him and give him praise and glory that is due him, because we are also created to praise him. So this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you homework this week. And you all thought you're out of school. I'm going to give you homework this week, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a walk at night. And I want you to go out, and I want you to see God's creation. You know what I like about Salina so much is I can do that. And I can go out there, and I can see the Milky Way, and I go, oh, wow. This is great. You're mindful of me? I want you to go out and I want you to take a walk. And I want you to take Psalm 8 with you. And I want you to, verbally or non-verbally, I don't care, it's up to you. I know some of you might think somebody's watching me and think I'm weird. But I want you to read Psalm 8. And I want you to stop. And I want you to give him thanks for being mindful of you. And I want you to praise him. And if you can do that every day this week, I guarantee you're going to come back next Sunday and you're probably going to have a smile on your face. In the worship time with Abby and the Abby singers, you give your group a name, the Abbeyites. But you're going to be worshiping. And it's not because Abby is good. She is good. Don't get me wrong. And the singers are good. But it's you're going to be coming in because you say, I'm coming in to worship and praise God, this big God that created everything that there is, the sun and the moon and the stars, and yet he's mindful of me. You're going to be able to do nothing but praise him and thank him. Let's pray. Father, we come today and we are thankful for your creation. We're thankful that you are mindful of us. Father, it is a humbling thing when we recognize that. So Lord, I just pray that throughout this week, we will take time out and we will go and we will read Psalm 8 outside. And we'll praise you. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Well, if you all stand with me and we'll close in song this morning. And as every week, the elders will be here at the front, willing and ready to pray with you if you have any desires, any needs that you'd like for them to pray with you about.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole, empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been saved. Now I am found.
And Father, may we praise you. You have made us fearfully and wonderfully, and you are mindful of us. And oh, Lord, we thank you for that. May your blessing be upon us this week, and may we go out and praise you this week when we see your wonderful creation. May your blessing be upon the people. May we share your love with others. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.
Worthy is the King.